KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Nice to talk to Scott Simpkins, Petrie Automotive Group. They've been a longtime supporter of the programming here on KNKT. I want to ask our listeners, you know, please try to do business with people that are local in New Mexico. They invest in our community, as does Petrie. Mentioned Buck Buckner with Rain Tunnel Car Spas. Of course, we've got Power Ford and a number of other car dealers that really reach out. We've got great real estate companies and things. So as you hear people sponsoring the programming here at KNKT and they're involved with this ministry, we appreciate them so much. And we want to also thank guests like Rhiannon Samuel with Viante in New Mexico. Rhiannon, we haven't had John since February 23rd. I got to have you tell us all about politics in New Mexico because I think we might have forgotten.
Oh, boy. There's a lot to talk about, Jim, let me tell you.
Well, I have to tell you, I want to remind everybody, I apologize to you because I really like to have you on the program, you know, every 3 to 5 weeks, and you're always so informative. You were kind enough to meet with us pretty frequently, I think two or three times during the legislative session. And we're going to talk about a number of things. I want you to tell us about Viante, New Mexico. I want you to talk about your mission, and you've just released a legislative scorecard. And so these are some of the topics we're going to cover in the next half an hour or so. Understand that we'll only have you till about 1:45 or so. So let's start right away and talk about what's going on with Viante right now and what are you working on?
Yeah, so as a brief recap, Viante New Mexico is a nonpartisan organization who works to provide transparency around our state elected officials to see who's working together to address our crime, education, and quality of life issues in New Mexico. And really at the heart of our work is we're trying to get that to working New Mexican families so they can make more educated voting decisions. We're right now in the middle of a primary. We have a general election at the end of the year. And we want people to think beyond political affiliation and see who's showing up for the job and who's working together. Because what I have come to find after 3 years with this organization is a lot more people just want our elected officials to work together. They're tired of the infighting and the name calling. They just want to wake up in the morning and not have to worry if their truck is there, or they want to be able to send their kids to a school and know that they're going to be prepared for life. And so that's what we're trying to do, is bridge that divide of what just everyday New Mexicans want and the behaviors of our elected officials.
Well, and Rhiannon, I'm going to break script just a little bit. I mean, always before these programs, we kind of talk a little bit about the topics we want to cover. But there's been a discussion for the last month or so coming from the Republican Party nationally about getting America opened up again. There's been criticism I'm hearing from the other side of the aisle, but I hadn't really seen very many plans until about the last 4 or 5 days. Now the governor's outlined a plan. She has a committee that she's put together that's dealing with the COVID-19 issues, and I understand they're carefully considering, you know, the medicine, all the medical facts, all of the different research that's being done. And then at the same time, they're supposed to be carefully considering, you know, what's going on with businesses. But in the same time, and I don't know that you have a chance to listen to the program very much, but we had a guest on last week. His name is Buck Buckner. He is a longtime businessman, again, a sponsor of our programming here at KNKT. He owns the Rain Tunnel Car Spas, and they opened up for business last Friday. But he had shared with us that over a 6-week period, he had been trying to, very conscientiously, working with a group of about 16 or 17 other businesses. They had submitted some suggestions to the governor and some discussion points and things that they thought would be important. And he did that without ever getting a response. So I guess I want to ask you in concept, is one of the things that Viante is after is to have things done openly and have discussions so that the public can participate. Is that kind of part of your mission?
Of course. And we're trying to facilitate those conversations in a way that both sides are armed with more information. So although our work is not specific to COVID-19 and the the shutdown that ensued, that is a little bit to the point of us wanting to people to feel like they can talk to their elected officials and know that they'll be heard.
Mm. Well, talk to us a little bit, if you would, about the legislative scorecard that you've just released, and I want to know all about that.
Certainly. Actually, it's being released on Monday,
okay.
And that's to our members. And this is a brief recap of our membership with Yonte. We do not accept donations from businesses or organizations because we want to keep our work as pure as possible with $10 donations from our membership that have access to our scorecard. So, Jim, you're a member. We thank mm-hmm. you for that. And what you'll find is you can type in your address, you'll find your legislators, both your rep and your senator, and you'll see how they performed in our 2020 session and what their attendance score was. We had some legislators that were not there for more than 25% of the votes they were expected to make on behalf of their constituents. And
Wow. They
may have very valid reasons for that. But what we're trying to do as an organization is just put the information out there so their constituents can ask the questions. And if they like the excuses or the explanation, then fine. But we're not trying to demonize anyone. But that's one part. The other part is we look at all the legislation that is introduced. And this past year, we had over 700 bills. And our nonpartisan board of directors that has both Republicans and Democrats on it looked through all 700, and they found 15 bills that would have made a difference in New Mexico
mm-hmm.
and how our legislators voted on them. Some bills didn't even get it to the governor's desk. As an example, a bill that we chose last year, we chose again this year, is the crime of illegally dismantling stolen vehicles. That's holding chop shops liable for purchasing the stolen vehicles that we are subject to. We're the victims here in New Mexico.
Yes.
And it couldn't make it out of the Senate.
Rhiannon, I want to share a story with you real quick.
Please.
At one time in the early 80s, I was a basketball coach here. We had a professional basketball team as part of the Continental Basketball Association, which no longer exists. And I had left my home at 8 o'clock in the morning to go to practice. And I returned back to my home at 10 o'clock to find my garage door open. My friend had left, his car stored in my garage and the car was gone. So I just thought for a moment, gee, I think that he probably just forgot to close the door. Well, I walked into my home and I noticed that it looked like something out of the Grinch that stole Christmas. There were wires and things hanging on the walls, but all my pictures and most of my furniture was just an amazing burglary. People, they had stolen almost everything in my house, and they had stolen my friend's car. So, of course, I filed a police report and all of this, and here was where it got to be kind of fascinating. You know, you have insurance, and I wasn't that worried about all of that. None of it was very that valuable, except my friend's car. I felt badly because he stored it in the garage, and it got stolen. I had no idea what his insurance was. My homeowner's insurance took care of some of it, et cetera. But they found the car the next day down on the west side of the freeway near the University Arena, the pit, across the highway, though, on a street called High Street. And it was fascinating to me because less than 24 hours later, this vehicle was sitting on blocks, all the wheels, all the brakes, all the tires, the entire interior of the car, which was really nice, you know, all power seats, headliner, beautiful dashboard, everything taken out, bare metal on the inside. And then when you opened up the engine compartment, every part was gone except the engine block. And this is work that was obviously done by a professional chop team. And you know those parts were sold who knows where to automotive shops or whatever. So this legislation, and I want to ask you, did it pass? Or maybe you already said that didn't even get out of committee. This is a real problem. I experienced it myself personally years ago.
Oh, yes. And this is legislation that is in a dozen other states, including all of our border states where we see an increase in property crime specific to our vehicles. And it made it through the House unanimously, went over to the Senate, and it died in Senate Judiciary over some technical concerns. They weren't even issues. They were just a legislator voicing concerns. And it died because it just ran out of time. And now we're left another year without this important legislation that could have made a difference.
Yes. Rhiannon, I know you have a good record of who votes for what, who doesn't show up to vote, et cetera. The attendance and all that is kept. But when you talk about a bill like this dying, is there any accountability for who actually kills that bill? Is there any feedback that you get about that process? Is there any way to prevent that kind of thing from happening?
So that is something that we're actively working on. Our scorecard has been after the session each year, but what we did differently this year is we signaled three different bills, one in each of our focus areas of education, crime, and quality of life, mm-hmm. and we said, these are important. Please pay attention to them. And two of them were, like, it went through the whole process, and they went to the governor's desk and were signed. Great. But this crime bill, this illegally dismantling stolen vehicles, did not. But throughout the process, we were letting our members at Beyonce know what was happening so they could chime in with committee members and let them know that it was important to them and they wanted to see it passed, and it still didn't get all the way through.
Right.
And so you can find an illustration of legislators' behavior on common ground bills through our scorecard that you can find at Beyonce, VIANTENM.org. And become a member, please, and look at it. Arm yourself with information on who is working together to keep New Mexicans here in the state.
Rhiannon, I know that education is part of the mission of your organization. You want to, I know that there was some money allocated for early childhood education. But I know you're also aware that the oil and gas industry has gone right into the tank. I don't know how people in southeast New Mexico are going to be making a living with oil and gas prices under $20 a barrel. I also know that we've lost a ton of gross receipts. So are you anticipating that the governor's going to have to call a special legislative session? And how are you concerned, or are you concerned about how the budget will be affected for some of the things that you've already gotten approved?
Oh, boy. So, yes, there's no doubt in anyone's mind that we need to have a special session. Our budget projections right now are we're at a deficit of $2 billion.
Wow.
And to put that into perspective, the budget that was passed in March that was signed by the governor was $7 billion. So that is an impressive amount of money. It's not just one-time expenditures. That's reoccurring projects that are going to have to be evaluated and perhaps cut. The early child education fund, teacher raises. At this point, everything is possible to be on that chopping block.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the added element of that many legislators on both sides of the aisle believe we're going to have to dip into those reserves and those permanent funds that we have protected for so long to make ends meet. So when that special session happens is the key point here. Mm-hmm. Not if, but when, because the governor is being cautious around keeping people socially distant and not spreading the virus anymore. Because it's not just the 112 legislators that have to go up to Santa Fe. It's the support staff. It's the advocates. It's community members who want to watch. And so it's a tough call. I know legislators have been asking for it to be sooner rather than later. We also have to grapple with the fact that, like in New Mexico, like in the federal government and many other states, our elected officials are a bit older in age, and that's our more vulnerable population. So I don't have any idea of when she's going to call that special session or under what circumstances, but it's something we're watching closely.
You bet. Rhiannon Samuel, the executive director of Beyonce of New Mexico, is on the phone with us this afternoon. We're going to take a quick break and say thanks to a couple of sponsors. Rhiannon, stay with us. We'll be right back on ABQ Connect.
This is Chip Lusko. I want to let you know that Star 88 and KNKT are sponsoring a mission trip to Uganda in October. We'll be working with Bev Rich at the Called Christians compound in Jinja. I'll be leading this mission, and it will be no tourist trip. Here's the plan. We'll be doing prison, hospital, and slum work in Jinja, also taking a tent with us and a sound system to go to several villages and conduct evangelistic crusades, conferences, and children's church. So we'll work hard, but we'll also play hard. We'll have a chance to take a boat ride on Lake Victoria and see the start of the Nile River. Another highlight will be two trips into a big game park on safari. This is going to be a unique and productive trip, and we still have places available for you to go and to serve. If you want more information and an application, email me at studio@star88.fm. That's studio@star88.fm. The dates are October 1st through October 19th of 2020.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. If you're tired of old-school gimmicks and games while shopping for a new car, then experience something new-school at Power Ford. We'll give you a better deal and a better experience. The better deal part? We'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico or put $1,000 cash in your pocket. The better experience part? You rated us Best of the City and Ford Dealer of the Year. Find your ride at MyPowerFord.com or come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
Hi, this is Skip Heitzig. As this stage of the COVID-19 crisis enters a new phase, many people are asking good questions like, what's next? Could there be something worse ahead? And what does the Bible say about your future? What's next is the title of our special broadcast this weekend on KNKT and Star 88. Join me as we open the pages of the book of Revelation to discover what's ahead for you, our country, and the world.
The What's Next special is presented by Petrie Buick GMC and Petrie Kia and Southern Boulevard Automotive.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Rhiannon Samuel of Viante of New Mexico on the phone with us this afternoon. Rhiannon, I know that your website, viante.org, is a great resource for voters to get educated, and you're going to come out with the scorecard that you mentioned earlier about our past, this past legislative session and who voted for what and who is in attendance. You need people to sponsor you or join Viante for $10 a month. I've done that. I'm finding a lot of great information on your website, and I think that's a key to being prepared to vote. But I want to ask you a little bit about your board and your methodology and kind of how you come to publish the things that you do on your website.
Certainly. So I'll start with the board. When we came up with this idea back in 2017, actually is from Dale Armstrong, who's the owner of TLC Plumbing and Utility, he was very intentional about making the board generationally diverse. So we have it written into our bylaws that half have to be over the age of 40 and half need to be the age under 40. And in addition to that, we are careful to make sure that everybody is a different political affiliation and they represent different industries. So we have all the way from owners and founders of institutions in New Mexico like Dion's to folks who are just starting out a business and working on making connections, but also working to make New Mexico better. And so we have a really, really great and strong board of directors that I'm really proud to work with. And how I do that is during the session, I will monitor all the bills that come forward, and I look at how they impact education, crime, and quality of life in the state, and I give it to the board unadulterated. What do you guys think? And we have both sides of the aisle saying why or why not they like something or things that you may think are just kind of political hot topics. I have found that this board has found ways to compromise that we're trying to adopt to the legislature. And so we narrowed that 700 bill plus selection down to 15 bills, and we assign a score. We look at both if the legislator had voted on those pieces of legislation and if they sponsored it. The sponsorship is really important because we want to show that they are a part of the solution. And so it sounds very simple in that soundbite. I did work out the math, and it looks as though we have spent over 2,400 hours this year between all of the boards and me and interns working on this scorecard. So it is no easy feat, let me tell you.
You bet. You bet. Well, this year we're going to have all 112 of our state representatives, both in the Senate and the House, up for reelection. And the primary, of course, is coming up here the first week of June, which is just coming around the corner. Are you expecting polls to actually be open, social distancing and all of that? I mean, I guess if you can go to Costco, you can go to the polls to vote. I also know a lot of people are requesting ballots. And can you kind of go through that process with us and talk to us a little bit about how that works?
Yes. So if you're interested in getting an absentee ballot, you can still request it. Just go to nmvote.org and request it through the Secretary of State. Otherwise, yes, polls are going to be open. The New Mexico Supreme Court ruled that they had to be, and they had to have the minimum polling locations that are practicing social distancing. They also asked that each of our county clerks, so we have 33 in the state of New Mexico, do everything that they can to educate the public about the availability of absentee voting. So if you just don't feel comfortable going to the voting booth, or if you want to spend more time with your ballot, absentee voting is a perfect option for you. Otherwise, early voting starts on the 16th, and then our actual primary day is on June 2nd. Mm-hmm. And why it's so incredibly important to participate is, as you had mentioned, all 112 legislators are on the ballot. But more than that, out of that 112, there's 77% that have contested races, either in the primary or the general election. We have the potential of having a completely new roundhouse, for better or worse.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody needs to make sure that their voice is represented in saying who's there representing them.
Rhiannon, as you were describing the leadership in your board of directors, I was taking a look at them. And, you know, obviously some real well-known business people and some leadership. And you mentioned that you have some people over 30 and some people under 30. Is that kind of what the delineation is?
Yes. And that was important because we wanted to rely on the sage wisdom of New Mexicans who have been there or been here in New Mexico and seen what has worked and what hasn't, while also keeping in mind that excited innovation that younger folks bring to the table, so we can balance that appropriately and really seek out legislation that speaks to both generations and what's going to make a difference.
This might seem like a really silly question, really, but you've got people of different ages, Democrats, Republicans, and people with different faith backgrounds, different orientations of all kinds. How do you get along?
That's a great question. And I chuckle because it seems so simple, and we ask folks to do that all the time, and yet we don't see that playing out in Santa Fe or with our elected officials. But in this setting where you start off with an understanding of we have different opinions, different lived histories, but at the end of the day, we're going to come to an agreement and a compromise that changes the whole mindset. You don't come out of the door with your armor on, ready to go to battle like many people do. And we're seeing it with campaigns right now, with really nasty attack ads. Instead, if we just started approaching every situation with, you can have your differences from me, but what can we agree on? So much more can get accomplished.
You bet. Well, you're setting a great example. And I know that government can't necessarily run like a nonprofit agency or a business. I get that. But especially in times like we're in today, you have to make changes pretty quickly. Rhiannon, are you satisfied now that the governor's office is now communicating plans and doing that kind of openly? She's established this committee to talk about health concerns and reopening New Mexico. Are you happy now that that's kind of being done in a more transparent fashion?
You know, we're in uncharted times. This is a novel virus, the likes of which none of us ever expected.
No.
And so I think that each governor had their unique challenges and wading those waters of transparency and access to information while also making plans and acting quickly. And so I think what our governor is tasked with is balancing how much information to share and at what time too, because we have also seen that when you share certain things too early and they're not embedded, then it can cause even more pandemic. And so I don't have a characterization if she's done it appropriately. I just know from what I've seen in other states that it's a unique time that I think everybody's doing their absolute best with.
Yeah. Well, I can definitely see the issues where you have two cities that are 40 minutes away from one another, Grants and Gallup, and you have entirely different scenarios in both of those cities. In Gallup, they have the pandemic is continuing to affect more and more people. They're not seeing the leveling off or the tapering off of people getting ill. I'm not sure they have a finger on why that's happening. They don't know, I don't think, why people are being so affected on the Navajo Reservation. And I know that President Nez of the Navajo Reservation, which, by the way, most people may not know, is primarily located in Arizona, kind of that little section of McKinley County in New Mexico is part of that Navajo Reservation. And, you know, we're just we have a heart for people. We actually have a pastor who Pastor Benali, who is up in Gallup, and he is from Calvary of Albuquerque, and they are working day and night trying to take care of people and help them with food. And we're going to be talking with him next week about all the services and things that they're providing. And they are really at ground zero. They are battling the battle and living with people that are faced with this every day. So, again, no criticism intended except to say, hey, we'd like to have an open conversation, and we encourage the governor to continue doing that with people on both sides of the aisle. So, Rhiannon, gracious for you to join us today. Hope you have a great weekend. Thank you for joining us on ABQ Connect.
Thank you so much for having me, Jim. It's always such a pleasure to be with you and your insightful questions. It really gets me thinking, too, and I hope your listeners have a little bit more information after this interview than they had before. So,
hey, and I'm shooting you the invitation to come back on the show in about 3 weeks. Is that going to be okay?
Let's do it.
All right. Thank you, Rhiannon. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Jim.